Welcome to Resilience Unraveled. Hi everybody and welcome to Resilience Unraveled, a podcast that examines all aspects of personal and organisational resilience. A huge all-encompassing subject that covers the ability to thrive in life by harnessing your cognitive, emotional, physiological and contextual abilities. I share stories from people who have thrived despite remarkable obstacles, as well as highly successful practitioners and experts across a range of topics. And this podcast introduces their amazing stories and expertise, as well as my own reflections, perspectives, strategies and tips, which come from my own synthesis of themes and trends from wider learning. You can go to qedod.com/extras to access offers, tools and resources, including free articles and ebooks. For those of you that would be interested in supporting our work and contributing more proactively, you can find our new Patreon page at patreon.com. Then search for Resilience Unraveled. So, let's get started. Enjoy the show. Hey, and welcome back to Resilience Unraveled. And today with me is Denise Schoenwald. So, good afternoon, Denise. How are you? Was that okay with the name? Will that do?
Yes. Just perfectly.
Try it again so I know how to say it properly. I know Denise.
Schoenwald.
And that's important later on for website contacts, such like you'll always find it, the link in the notes anyway. So tell us a bit about yourself, Denise. I'm excited to know more about you.
And I'm excited to be here. Well, my name is Denise Schoenwald, and I'm a mental health counselor licensed in the state of Florida, but also nationally licensed throughout the United States. And before I was a therapist, I was a critical care nurse. So my first career was in nursing, and I enjoyed that very much. The transition into psychology has been wonderful for me.
Mm. So why psychology after nursing?
It was very interesting. As much as I loved being in the ICU, medicine is a grind. A lot of hours, a lot of call, nights, and then switching to days. And as I started to get older, I thought, I really want to continue because I felt I really loved medicine and I really wanted to stay in the field, but I didn't really want to do the long hours and the holidays and the weekends. And for me, psychology just seemed like a wonderful transition. And I have really, what a fantastic field I'm in, mental health.
And what's your angle? What's your area of mental health that you're interested in?
Well, I seem to do a little bit of everything. But I see a lot of people suffering from anxiety and depression. I see a fair number of couples counseling. And since I'm a nurse, obviously, I also work with people who are chronically or seriously ill, maybe going through chemotherapy or radiation. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, with my medical background, I'm able to help understanding both sides of what they're experiencing with medical problems as well as psychological struggles.
And you talk a lot about mind-body. So, and I guess that makes sense with your background of being a nurse and then into psychology. So how are you defining, I mean, there's lots of different definitions and they're all sort of similar, but how do you define mind-body?
Well, I think the easiest way to explain it, and I didn't even realize this until I started to specialize in mental health, certain emotions that we struggle with, if we struggle with them for years, they will eventually manifest physically. And so what we don't realize, for example, guilt. Guilt is something that a lot of people will harbor for years and years and years and will quickly go to that emotion when they're stressed. I feel guilty. What we don't realize is how hard that is on the bowel, on the bladder, on the kidneys. It's an emotion that almost gets stored there and eventually wreaks havoc.
Yeah, it's interesting. How does that work? How does that happen? Is a better question.
Well, there are seven energy, sort of main energies in the body. The Chinese refer to them as qi. Shakti is another word. Chakras is another word that some are familiar with. But these energies in our body sort of filter, if you will, or process certain emotions. For example, if you've ever gone through grief is very hard on the heart. Mm. And you may say, oh, my heart is just aching. And it's actually because that energy around the heart is blocking. Certainly people that have been married for 50 years and lose a spouse and pass right afterwards or soon after, we may say, oh, she died of a broken heart. But what actually has happened is that grief was so heavy on the heart that was likely already weakened, and that has contributed to the death of the spouse.
So I'm always curious when people use things like chakras and such like, because I've always sort of, used the more medical term of it's all about the cortisol and the adrenal and endocrinology
Sure.
systems rather than chakras. So do you use that as a metaphor, or is that a way to explain things to people, or are you saying there's something more energetic about the heart, which is independent to the systems in which it belongs?
What I normally do in my office, or obviously if I'm on Zoom, is I show a diagram of how these where these energies are in the body, where they sit. And then I explain to them how certain emotions will affect that particular body part. For another example is if you're around someone that you're not quite sure you trust, and your mind can't quite figure out why, I may say to you, I have a gut feeling this person is not telling us the truth, or there's something about this that makes my gut feel a little uncomfortable. And what actually is happening, trust is an emotion that's sort of processed in the stomach, and that they call it the solar plexus. And for that reason, fear is also there. We're seeing a lot of people now having a lot of stomach issues, and stemming from that, or certainly exacerbating that, is a lot of fear, which sits in the stomach.
But isn't that again just the cortisol response and the destruction of the microbiome and the and what's going on with general gut health? Because actually, a lot of the problems with gut, certainly in your world and my world, is ultra high food processing, such like, and maybe our diets make us more susceptible to things like anxiety and fear.
Yes. And I'm also finding that we're unfortunately excreting too much cortisol. We seem to have a thought or have a situation happen, and all of a sudden we go, I call it going very dark with it. Oh, now this means this is going to happen. And what if that happens? And we have a lot of energy, and we put that toward worry or guilt or shame or whatever word we want to put in there. And that causes the body, because the body is following the mind, the body starts to excrete a lot of cortisol, thinking, because the mind is cueing it, that this is something that's truly happening.
Yes, it's interesting. Yes. So basically that's quite interesting. So what you, because I think the trouble with the body is that it has a very limited range of responses to quite a sophisticated range of thoughts, isn't it? The physiology has really never caught up with our cognitive capacity to imagine and to do all the things that we need to do. I've always been a great believer that very few emotions actually. And one of the biggest is anxiety, which is, and I think guilt falls into anxiety because that experience of anxiety comes from not knowing what's going to happen. And that's a lot to do with guilt and shame and embarrassment. It's, oh my goodness, what will happen next?
Yes.
And so it is easy to see how we can help our thoughts, but it is easy also to use the body to make our thoughts better, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. A lot of it, what I work with people on is perception. Because if we're thinking sort of spiritually, or if we're religious, when it's time to learn something or evolve through something, it normally the experience is usually a little uncomfortable. Because if it weren't uncomfortable, we would never really pay much attention to it. And so when something happens and I feel uncomfortable, I also recognize that there's a learning experience, or there's meaning for me. And that sort of lessens the severity of this is so uncomfortable, I don't like it, I don't want this to happen.
So can you give me
And
an
if we can,
example of, can you give me an example of that, how that might work?
well, one would be grief.
Right.
And one of the things that certainly if we've lived long enough, we certainly have grieved. And it's so painful. And our first response is, why do I have to go through this? Why is this happening to me? And then I think to myself, well, why not me? I mean, why should it happen to everybody else, but I shouldn't go through it? And then I think about grief really giving more meaning for me to life, appreciating relationships. Certainly, when other people are grieving, I've learned because I've grieved to be more compassionate, to reach out and check on people. So for me, taking something very painful and finding resilience and meaning has been very helpful in my life.
Right. And so do you think grief is part of developing resilience?
Yes. I think any type of suffering can help with resistance. We tend to want to control life so that we don't have to suffer.
Yes, but
And
suffering
we
is
think,
useful.
right, and we think, okay, if I want this to be this way and I want this to be that way so that I don't have to suffer. And what I try to get clients to understand is we should always work towards peace, and then whatever happens, we will find peace from within.
Yes, that's interesting. It's interesting you've expressed it that way. I just wonder if joy is good for resilience, because very few people seem to talk about
Yes, joy, gratitude.
that. Well, joy in particular, which is that unencumbered sense of freedom and, kicking your heels up and having a lovely time. Some of it's dietary, some of it's physical, some of it's cognitive, isn't it? But I just wonder where. We don't really talk enough about that. We talk a lot about pain and suffering and such like, don't we? We very rarely talk about having a really good life, and then resilience can come from that side of things as well. Maybe that's because we're both counselors.
Yes. And joy is a very high vibrational energy. Joy helps these chakras or these energies within us open up and flow. If you've ever been to maybe a church service and they're playing music and people put their hands up to God, and sometimes that might be a little strange to us, but they're actually feeling the energy. They're feeling God at that moment, and they put their hands up because they want more of it. They open to receive. A joy is something that hopefully is what we pass on to each other.
So you're talking about energy, and so do you believe in the power of collective energy and how that works in terms of our individual contribution to that as a system?
What did you mean? Did you say collective energy?
Yeah.
Explain that to me a little bit.
Well, you're talking about individual energy, but then you're talking about sitting in a church and everyone having hands up. Are you thinking there's a form of collective energy there? Like the Jung talked about collective consciousness, but I wonder if you're thinking about collective energy.
Yes, I'm following now. And collective energy, we certainly within ourselves, depending upon how the nervous system is, we either pull energy from other people or we push it out and make other people feel wonderful. When the nervous system has a low vibrational frequency, or we're sitting in misery and shame and guilt, the only thing that we really think about at that time is ourselves. I may call you up and say, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, I feel guilty, I'm anxious, and you feel bad for me and you're helping me, but I'm also a little bit exhausting because I'm pulling energy. When I was in critical care, patients were very, very sick. They were also pulling energy because they were sick. I understand that. I mean, that's part of what we do to help. When our vibrational energy is high, we show compassion, we show forgiveness, we're willing, we're understanding. And it's a beautiful energy that affects us collectively because people feel that.
So I'm guessing there's two systems here. One which is how do you collect energy? One which is how do you store and move energy? And you're talking about energy blockers within the body. And then the third thing is expressing it. So expressing it sort of looks after itself, blockers you've talked about. But how do we, rather than just hoovering up energy from everybody else, how do we build our own energy?
This is a very great question that you just asked me because I've noticed in the last couple of weeks about just ways that I have been feeling depending upon situations. It's very important that we all develop our own recipe or remedy, if you will, for self-care. What do we do or what do we need to do to feel happy or at least neutral? Some people, exercise is a wonderful way. Some people like to go for massage. Some people like to go to the beach. depend upon what that is for the body to feel balanced. When the body is out of balance is when the energy gets low, and if without even realizing it, we go out into the environment to feel better.
Right.
This is where addictions come in.
So
Alcohol,
it's interesting you talk
smoking.
about this sort of concept of energy balance. So you're talking about there's a balance point between low energy and high energy. Is that
Yes.
so the fulcrum is negative, sort of balanced energy. So that makes sense.
Yes.
I never understand the balanced energy thing, because I would always just thought that good energy, more energy was good.
It depends what you, for instance, when people would come into the hospital, we would take their blood pressure and we'd put them on the heart monitor and we'd get some labs and so forth. And that gave us an understanding of how they were doing medically.
Right.
How, a little quick, a quick look, if you will. When I'm seeing someone as in psychology, I'm trying to understand how the nervous system is doing. Do they have a lot of low vibrational energy in the body, which is causing a lot of depression, anxiety, guilt? Maybe they've gone through a trauma.
Right.
Or are they doing fairly well where they're enjoying their friends? Maybe they have a relationship, they're volunteering and so forth. Certainly, we want to, as best we can, do things that are good for the soul, knowing that at some point life is going to throw us a curveball and we're going to struggle a little bit. Other people, their mind keeps them at a very low vibrational energy or really sort of is tough on the nervous system that eventually will affect them physically.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. So when you're talking about lower energy, you're not talking about not having enough. You're talking about low energy operating at a lower frequency, and then high
Correct.
energy not being having a lot of energy. It's about having high frequency energy.
Correct.
So you can have a lot of low frequency energy, and therefore you'd be depressed.
Well, and certainly if it's an intense low vibrational energy, it looks like anger, ego, jealousy. Okay, now the energy is still sort of on the low or negative side, but it's got a lot of intensity. Likely that person is not going to be able to hold it in.
That's fascinating, because actually, if you put a bunch of human beings in the room and play in very, very, very low notes on an organ or a musical instrument, they will experience a degree of unease because of the low energy that comes from sound. So that's always quite interesting when you link those two different systems together. Fascinating. All right then. So let's get people to look at some of the work that you've been doing. Tell me how people can get a hold of you. What sort of things they can find when they get hold of your site. Let us know more.
Well, my website is myname.com, Denise Schoenwald, Denise. Schoenwald.com. And I would invite listeners to take a quick 10 question quiz on their mental health. It's easy. It just will give them a good understanding of how they're doing as far as mental health. For listeners today, I've written three books. My first one is Healing Your Body by Mastering Your Mind, talking a lot about what we've talked about today about the mind-body connection. My second book is on insightful self-therapy. And then I just finished a children's book about a little girl who was struggling with anxiety. If listeners would like to go to my website and look at all three books, I'd be happy to send them one as a gift for listening to the show. They would email me their name and address. And thirdly, appointments are available on my website. I'd be happy to see someone for a consultation. I accept most insurances.
And are you virtual or are you face to face?
Well, certainly in Florida, a lot of people like to come face to face, but throughout the country, I see people on Zoom.
Very good. It's fascinating, isn't it? Only 3 years ago, we never did that. We said it was terrible. We couldn't operate on Zoom. Now, what would we do without Zoom?
Yes. We didn't want to, and now we can't live without it.
Yeah, all that saving, all that travel, all that stress of travel, and all that sort of stuff we used to talk about. Denise, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you today. Thank you so much. Hopefully people will reach out and look for your books. And I'm guessing all those books are available on Amazon and all major bookshops. So that's good.
They are.
And I see you're also on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and That looks like YouTube as well on your site. So that's also good as well.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you for spending time with us today.
You're welcome.
You take care.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I hope you found that episode useful and interesting. Feedback is always welcomed, and if you are in the mood to subscribe to us or even leave a comment on iTunes or Stitcher, that would be amazing. If you want to suggest ideas or even people you would like me to interview, then reach out to us at qedod.com/contact. As I said earlier, you can go to qedod.com/podcasts for show notes or follow the links. And you can go to qedod.com/extras to access offers, tools and resources, including free articles and ebooks. For those of you that would be interested in supporting our work and contributing more proactively, you can find our new Patreon page at patreon.com, then search for Resilience Unraveled. I look forward to being in your ear next time around. Take care.